Blog Talk Radio.
He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Everybody all over the room, open your mouth and worship. Lift your hands and bless them in this place. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
Say it, y'all. Come on, y'all got it. Come on, say it. My hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Oh, my hallelujah. Yeah. Then we simply say, you deserve it. Real simple, say it, sir.
Thank you.
Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and talk to this place.
Yes, 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 yes. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, God, you deserve the praise. You deserve the praise. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm Reverend Dr. Alethea Smith-Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God. And I welcome you this morning. Welcome in the name of Almighty God. Welcome this morning. And today, the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show is hosting the Pavilion of God's Worship. To some, this is virtual worship, but to this body of Christ, this worship is real. Not virtual, it is real, it is real. And this is consecrated and holy space for worship and praise. I want you to get your praise on this morning. Just know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this is a place to worship. The Pavilion of God embraces prayer, miracles, fellowship of Jesus, and the power of an omnipotent God in the midst of the coronavirus and in the midst of a pandemic of racism. Yes, we embrace prayer, miracles, and fellowship of Jesus and the power of an omnipotent God. And we're a congregation that also embraces joy. Joy. On this Father's Day, we're celebrating fathers and the many men and, yes, women who have fathered. You know, father is a active verb and not just a noun. I'm talking about those who have fathered so many of us in so many different ways. So I want to invite you to prepare your hearts and your minds to worship with us. Would you please put your phones on mute if you haven't already, and prepare your heart for prayer. Your word says, oh God, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And dear Mother, Father, God, we come before you today rejoicing and giving thanks even in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic.
Yes.
We are rejoicing and giving thanks even in the midst of protests.
Yes.
Not just protests in our cities, not just protests in our country, but protests around the world. But nevertheless, we are rejoicing and giving thanks. And we're giving thanks to you, O God, for you are the God we celebrate today on Father's Day. For you are the God whose ways are not our ways and whose ways are higher than our ways.
Yes.
You are a God who is a protector and provider, and you are a God who surprises us even in the midst of our trials and tribulations. And we bless you.
Thank you.
And we praise your holy name. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You deserve it.
Yes.
Lord, we pray today that you will now anoint this time of worship. We pray that you bless today. We pray that you whisper in his ears, and we pray that you open our hearts.
Hallelujah.
so that we might hear your word,
yeah,
feel your touch, and be enlightened and be encouraged so that we might do all things in alignment with your will for our lives.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray
yes.
these prayers and all of the prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Beloved, I want to invite you to be reminded that the Pavilion of God meets on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a prayer meeting. You can call the same number you called today to be a part of our Wednesday prayer meeting, you know, good old-fashioned prayer meeting. We come together on Wednesday evenings to pray. And we start Wednesday mornings with prayer at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. And we pray our concerns. And if you'd like that call-in number, I'll give it to you now. But you can always check back with us at 701-801-1220. It's a conference call line. And there's an ACT code of 509-296-035. If you're connected with us this morning through the Internet, the information is right there for you. Just take a look and you'll have the number. I am the pastor, and I'll give you my number. If you'd like to reach out to me, I will always be happy to talk with you. And that's 202-365-2842. Or you can email me at revalicia@gmail.com. This is the time, too, that we want to acknowledge our birthdays for members of the Pavilion of God. This month, we've already celebrated Gwenell Bass's birthday on June 11th. And June 16th is our beloved son of the Pavilion of God, Pastor Delonte Golston's birthday was June 16th. Hallelujah. And Kiara James have a birthday. Can you believe it? For those of us who know Kiara, she's a high school student, and she turned 17 on June 19th. And then our beloved minister, Minister Helene Fisher, has a birthday coming up on the 27th of June. And Malika Hall, our recent graduate from George Washington University, has a birthday on June 29th. So please keep the birthday people from this month in your prayers, thanking God for each day of their lives and what a blessing they are to the Pavilion of God, to their families, and indeed to the world. Amen. Thank you for your giving and your faithfulness with giving during this pandemic period. You know, giving is an act of worship and faithfulness. And for those who want to give, you know, there are multiple ways of doing it. You can go through PayPal at pavilionofgod.baptist@gmail.com or use Cash App and simply use the words Pavilion of God. Or you can mail to our post office box 29464 in Washington, D.C. Zip code is 2017. And for those who are offering, I want you to take that offering in your heart right now. Make a commitment to give. And let's pray for your gift right now. Dear God, make me a cheerful giver of all my tithes and offerings.
Yes, yes.
I choose to receive all of your promises and blessings as I am obedient to your word. I pray that you shower favor, blessings, and increase upon me and my church. I am believing for storehouses unlocked, miracles created, anointing, provision, resources, healing, and souls saved. Let me give with an attitude of gratitude and worship. I have nothing without you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hold those words of prayerful giving in your hearts as you send your offerings in, and know that God blesses a cheerful giver. This is the time for our concerns and celebrations. We are praying for the Black Lives Matter movement. We're praying for the power there, the lessons taught there, the doors open there. And we're praying for safety for all those who are protesting. We're praying for suffering with the ravages of the coronavirus pandemic, and we're praying for health and healing for all of us. Amen. We're praying for the many families and loved ones who are grieving.
Yes.
We hold the Bass family in our prayers and the Hapley family in our prayers. We're continuing to pray for Kaniqua James, who had a bone marrow transplant, and for Michaela, who lives in Jamaica, West Indies, who's challenged with sickle cell anemia. I want you to know, when you have a prayer concern, we at the Pavilion of God take it seriously, and we pray. We have a powerful prayer ministry on Wednesdays, as I stated, at 6 a.m. and 12 noon, and we keep your prayers seriously in our hearts and in our personal prayers. We're praying prayers of affirmation for health and prosperity for Daisy Hanna, who is in New Jersey, health and prosperity for Carol Meikle, who is living temporarily in New York. We're praying for health and prosperity for all of our young adults in our congregation and our youth. This is a time that you may open your mics and unmute your mics and share your prayer concerns with us personally. So I'm opening your mics right now so that you can share your prayer concerns. Does anyone have something that you'd like to list? So if you don't have a mic open yet, just hold on 1 second. We're trying to get you open. Go right ahead.
I would like to request prayer from my son, Akintune Paul, who is going through a very difficult time now. And I ask for prayer to soothe his spirit and his mind, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We thank you for that prayer concern for Akintunde Paul. Is there another?
I want to affirm health for Michaela. She has been in good spirit, and her pain is not as bad as it used to be for this past week. I just want to give God thanks for his grace and mercy upon the life of me and my family. And prayer for the protesters. I'm so happy to hear Mama Hefe's voice and giving God thanks for all he has done for us.
Hallelujah. Thank you for those prayers of affirmation and prayers of concern. Is there another?
I'm listening to
good morning, family. This.
Yes.
They just picked up then.
No, they've been on.
Good morning, family. This is Baba Charles, and I'd like for us to keep Tammy Lathrop in our prayers. She's recuperating. We claim the victory. We claim good health from the coronavirus.
Amen, amen. Yes, another
amen
of our congregation challenged with coronavirus. So we're going to pray for her. Mm-hmm. We thank you for expressions of your prayer concerns and Minister Darryl.
And I would like to say something, Reverend Alethea.
Yes, please go.
This is Daisy. I wanted to put my friend, Dr. Imshako, and her son as I have been asking for prayers. Her son is about 25 and he's very ill. So I would like to keep Mshego and her son Chinua in our prayers. And of course, myself, Daisy.
Amen.
Thank you. And
thank
it's good
you
to hear your voice too, Ife.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Minister Daryl Puryear, if you could lead us in prayer for all of the prayer concerns that have been stated and those that are on the hearts and minds of those who are worshiping with us.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just want to echo the same thing. Mama Ife, it's so good to hear your voice. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna go out.
My hallelujah.
There's still hallelujah.
You, my hallelujah belongs to you,
Rod,
God.
Send it out to the
Lord,
family.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, because when we look back over our lives. Hallelujah. When we look back and we consider the ways that you have already made, the doors, oh God, that you have already opened. Hallelujah. The mountains that you have already cast into the midst of the sea. God, when we look back and we begin to realize what you have already done, even for black people, even for all people, oh God, we got to say that my hallelujah belongs to you, God. When we see even from the days of Christmas Addicts, when we think about Harriet Tubman, when we think about Dr. George Root, when we think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when we think about, Sojourner Truth, when we think about, oh God, all of the doors that you have opened, all of the ways that you have made, all of the mountains, God, that we have traversed, God, we got to say that my hallelujah belongs to you, God, and we realize that the same God, hallelujah, you're the same God that made ways in the past, and you're the same God, hallelujah, that is making ways right now. We look to you, oh God. We lift up our prayer concerns and our situations and our circumstances, oh God, to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah, that the same way that you made a way in the past, God, hallelujah, you are making a way right now, oh God. We thank you right now that we are not left alone down here, hallelujah, to fend for ourselves, but that you make ways, hallelujah, out of no ways. You move mountains, hallelujah. You cause walls to fall. By your power, you do miracles, hallelujah. There is nothing, hallelujah, that is impossible, and we're standing here only because, hallelujah, you made a way. Hallelujah. You made a way, oh God, in the past, and you're making a way right now. And we lift up our prayer concerns to you. You told us to cast our cares, hallelujah, upon you because you care for us. And God, we thank you right now that we are not alone in our situations, in the midst of our trials, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't face them by ourselves. But there's a God who's standing behind us. Glory, hallelujah. There's a God that's standing in front of us. There's God who's standing in the midst of us. Oh, glory above and beneath us, keeping us in all of our ways. Lord, we thank you that we don't face anything by ourselves. Glory to God. But with you, we can do all things. Lord, we bless your name. We offer up the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Have your way in our lives. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer, God, we lift up everything to you. We cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. We thank you for the fathers. We thank you in the name of Jesus for your abiding presence, because surely surely, hallelujah, surely you make the difference. Have your way in our lives, God. We bless you, we praise you, and we thank you as we lift up everything to you, knowing where our help comes from. In Jesus' holy name, we praise and thank you, God. Amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, and amen.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Minister Darrell, we thank you for that prayer this morning. It is my honor and my privilege to introduce our speaker for today. Our speaker for today is not a stranger to the Pavilion of God, because he is a body from the body of Christ. Our guest speaker is Dr. Charles Albert Withers II. Now, that's a mouthful, Dr. Charles Albert Withers II. He is the son of Reverend Alethea and me. When I look back and remember, and I thank God for the ability to remember, I thank God for fatherhood, because when I look back, prior to 1979, November 9, 1979, I really wanted to be a father. And I thank God that he blessed us with a son, carries the name of our family. And his birth was miraculous. The doctors wanted us to abort the pregnancy because they said he would be born with birth defects, all kinds of ailments and problems. But God saw fit that we had a nice, healthy son. And this is after 5 miscarriages. We were on a journey, but we put our faith and our trust in God. Dr. Withers, our son, I call him C.A. A lot of you know him by C.A. as well. He's known by C.A., Charles Albert. You know, he carries many names. He is a teacher, a healer, a visionary, and a world traveler. And he is, above all, a man of God. I look back and I remember, you know, this is not the sermon, and I'm going to cut it short. You know, once I start talking, sometimes I don't know when to start. But I look back and I remember the days of hitchhiking with C.A., hitchhiking in the snow with C.A., with the sled, making a snowman on the monument ground. And I remember when he was 3, I was his soccer coach. And believe it or not, he actually knew more about soccer than I did. But it's always stepping into those places where we will lead and teach from the gifts that God gives us. I remember the hiking, the biking, and the baking of sweet potato pies. This is a little story that now I claim to make the best sweet potato pie this side of the Mississippi River. And C.A. wanted to step in my shoes, and I don't know what he did to it, but he kind of tweaked the pie and wanted to take the glory from me. But there are times when we have to pass the torch. I am glad for the torch that I can pass to our son. C.A. and his family, they are members of the Cato Church, where Pastor Brian Dooley is the pastor. He has wonderful wife, which is our daughter, Crystal. When I say she's awesome, to letter for each letter, And God has blessed them with three lovely children. That's Layla, Portia, and Charles Alex Withers II, who was named after me. So there's a lot of Charleses in our clan, and I thank God for that. And at this time, I will play a song, God is Good, by Regina Bell. And after that, the next voice that you will hear is no other than our son, Dr. Charles Albert Withers II. Amen.
Amen.
Today's gospel music has lost its way. You see, my daddy's from Kershaw, South Carolina, raised in Bright Light Baptist Church and Ebenezer Baptist Church. My daddy believes that when you hear gospel, it ought to sound like gospel. So my sister told me that she was making a gospel record. I wanted to make sure that it was something on there for my daddy. So, daddy,
I know that God, my God, God is good. God, my God, God is good. You know that He brought me out of darkness, God is good. You know that He saved my soul. God is good. He saved my soul. God is good. I said that He saved my soul, and then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. You know that He guides my every footstep. God is good. He guides my every footstep. God is good. You know that He guides my every footstep. That He saved my soul, and then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. And when He puts shoes on my feet, God is good. When He puts shoes on my feet, God is good. When He puts shoes on my feet, so He could guide my every footstep. And He put food on my table. God is good. He put food on my table. God is good. Said He put food on my table. Then He put shoes on my feet. And He could guide my every footstep. And then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. And when He made a way, God is good. And when He made a way, God is good. And when He made a way, God is good. And said that He made. And then He put food on my table. Then He put shoes on my feet. So He could guide my every footstep. Jesus saved my soul. And then He brought me out. I give you no money in my pocket. God is good. With no money in my pocket, God is good. With no money in my pocket, He still made a way. Then put food on my table, and He put shoes on my feet, so He could guide my every footstep. Jesus saved my soul, and then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. He knows that He healed my every sickness. God is good. He says that He healed my every sickness. God is good. I said that He healed my every sickness. With no money in my pocket, He still made a way out of darkness. He still made a way out of darkness. He still made a way out of darkness. Then He was food on my table, and He put wheels on my feet, so He could guide my every footstep. Jesus saved my soul. I know that He saved my soul, and He saved my soul, and then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. God is good. Yeah, God is good. Yeah, God is good.
Charles Withers, and as my father introduced me, some of you know me as CA or Charles Albert. Even for my wife and kids listening, they know me as Charles or simply Daddy. Thank you for welcoming me home. I'm excited to be here. It was a great honor when, as I call her, Reverend Dr. Mommy and Deacon Dad, extended this invitation to me a few weeks ago for me to give a message this morning. So it's something that I've prepared for and really listened for what the Lord has for me to share with you all this morning. First, I want to just start by giving honor and thanks to God. This has been a really challenging season, not only for me, but for people all across the country with, again, I think it's a different visualization and perspective on reality, things that have been going on not only for years and decades, but for centuries with violence and injustice that has now been captured on film and is giving a different awareness and perspective to the country and to the world, what so many people throughout the African diaspora continue to go through. Again, for me, being a Black man in this country, seeing what has happened to so many of my brothers, also being a runner and seeing what has happened to this young man, Ahmaud Arbery, and even now being a father of a son, it's been a challenging season. But I really want to purposefully start with what I call my Psalm 100 moment of Thanksgiving. I'm glad that God is in this place. I want to start by, even with our phones on mute, just giving him a moment of praise. Because as we said in the worship song earlier, he deserves it. He deserves it. Our hallelujah belongs to him, and he deserves it. So let's just stop for a moment and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for being here with us. God, we give you praise, God. We open up our mouths and take a moment to give you that effort of praise, God. And we love you, God. We love you, and you deserve more than we could ever give you. So we just want to take this one moment, Lord, to say thank you. God, we love you.
Thank you,
we
Jesus.
Love you.
Yes.
Now, I also want to take a moment again to say, as I said, thank you first to Reverend Roz and to Deacon Dad this morning. God, I thank you all for inviting me. I thank the Pavilion for being a home away from home for my family. I want to take a moment to thank and give honor to my senior pastor here in Charlotte, Pastor Brian Dooley, and his family for really helping to teach and guide me for several years now. We appreciate their love and support and Pastor Brian's prayers. He sent me a text message saying that he was praying for me this morning just a few moments ago. So I'm thankful, Lord, for that, for our pastors here in North Carolina. And I wanted to, especially on Father's Day, take a moment to offer a special thank you to my wife, Crystal, and my three children, Layla, Portia, and Charles Alex. One quick story before I really dive in here, and it's a short one. Bob, I haven't even told you this. I was talking with Charles Alex the other day. He has full reign of the house, I would say, and, you know, as my son and as I am his father, I think there are no boundaries that he sees to where he can go and what he can't do within this house. And that's awesome. And I'm not going to dive into all of the meaning of that, but there's power in that too. But he barged in to the bathroom when I was in the bathroom the other day. He just started talking and he's playing with his cars. And I asked him, I said, hey, buddy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And after he went through how he wanted to be a race car driver, he went into the story about how he wants to be a father. And that really touched me, and it made me remember when I was around his age. That was part of my identity of what I wanted to be when I grew into a man. I wanted to be a father. And to see my son at the age of 4 already have that value generationally bestowed upon him and within him is a really powerful thing to see. Now, he went on apparently to tell Crystal just yesterday that he plans on living in this house with his kids, and you know, the rest of the family is going to have to move because he wants to stay in our home here. And my wife had to lovingly teach him in that moment, nobody, actually, when you get older, it's going to be your responsibility to have your own house, and it's going to be something that you're going to be excited about and want to do. But it was something loving to see that even at that age, my son has a certain value that he places on fatherhood. I'm going to begin actually with another short story here, kind of keeping with the tradition of the Pavilion of God and talking about your senior pastor's grandchildren. So it was maybe about a month or so ago, Charles Alex asked me to go on a walk with him. He's seen me do this with his sisters on occasion. The girls will ask me, Daddy, can we go on a walk? And I'll say, sure. So Charles Alex wanted it to be his turn, and I took him outside, and Portia also wanted to play outside, and she's been really getting into riding her bike independently, and she's really, really actually great at it. She's doing tricks on it and scaring Daddy half to death. But I went outside with Charles Alex, and Portia came outside, and we've been going over with the kids rules and boundaries about how far they can ride. And as they're getting older, we're allowing them to ride, you know, a little bit further down, okay, down to the neighbor's house and turn around, down to the bus stop and turn around, down to, you know, the second to last driveway on the street and turn around, but always kind of within my line of sight and within my protection. Now, I start up the block in one direction when Charles Alex is holding his hand and walking, and Portia is riding her bike in the other direction, actually with Layla. And as I'm walking, I hear, "Daddy, Daddy!" And I look, and Portia had fallen. She fell actually right by some rose bushes. She was riding really close to Layla, and she had an accident on her bike. And I ran down the block, and I scooped her up, and she had, you know, what we lovingly call road rash. The road reached up and bit this girl and took off a big chunk of her skin, and she was bleeding. And as blood is dripping down her leg, I scoop her up and I carry her inside, and we wash her off, and she's okay. Her leg is almost completely healed now, praise God. And her brother and sister prayed down the house for the healing of her leg. But it was a scary moment for her. But it was one that sticks out in my memory, because again, as our kids grow up and as they explore, I know they're going to explore. And one of the lessons that I remember my mom teaching me when I was a kid, you know, as we have kids, we have to start to let them go. And I'm aware that this is a part of growing up. I'm aware this is a part of childhood. I know that falling is a part of riding. And truthfully, as I look back on it, frankly, I'm glad that I was the one that was able to be there to help scoop her up, to show her love, to be patient with her. And honestly, I didn't have to try too hard to get her back on the bicycle. I think it was probably the next day she was back on her bike riding. But again, just a valuable lesson for all of us, but especially as parents, you know, allowing our kids to explore and loving them anyway. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, or a mobile device that has your Bible, I know so many of us just click on our phones. And if you can turn with me to the first scripture that I want to explore, it's in Luke. It is chapter 15, and it's verses 11 through 32. So this will be a familiar story. Again, it's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. I'll just give you a moment to pull that up. This is the story of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. I think it would be an equally apt topic, or title rather, to call it the parable of the patient father, but one that is probably familiar to so many of us that have grown up in church. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off," and I'm going to stop here. This is one of my favorite parts of this passage. I can see it. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, and it always seems as though there's a meanwhile, but meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered all your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So this story of the prodigal son, it's told from the perspective of the younger son. And like any story, like any truth, really when people are involved, there are different perspectives. When people are involved, there are different perspectives. And this story has three principal characters: the younger son, the older son, and the father. And I want to dissect this story, get into some of the forensics, some of the details, and break it down, because there's some basic lessons, some basic meat and potato principles, and also some things that really are stuck with me after having read it and studied it again. Now, from the younger son's perspective, I'm going to highlight how this story may seem. So we see a young man that wanted to get out from under his daddy's eye. He wanted to break out on his own and not only make his way in the world, but, you know, let's be honest, he wanted to get out and have some fun, to sow his wild oats, to act wild. As we say, used to say back in D.C. in the day, buck wild. So he broke with not some traditions, but as we read the story, this young man broke with every meaningful tradition that we could potentially imagine. This is an agricultural society. Family units were the economic units and hubs of the time. So not only did this boy demand his inheritance, this was an unusual thing, an unusual time, and an unusual way to request what was his, but he demanded his inheritance, and he left. He abandoned his family. He turned his back on his father and left his family there. He went out and squandered everything that was his. But then he realized his mistake. He realized where he had missed the mark. And he spoke up and returned home. His father welcomed him back with open arms and with gifts and with love. Now, from the older son's perspective, we see a young man who may have perhaps felt a little bit jealous, maybe a little bit indignant upon seeing his brother's return. Now, as I kind of hear the story and imagine seeing it through his eyes, I kind of see him saying, maybe in today's vernacular, hey, Pop, what about me? What about what was mine? I can almost hear him in today's current climate saying, Dad, what about what was coming to me? And his father saying, son, younger sons' lives matter. And the older brother perhaps replying in today's climate, all sons' lives matter. Yet still the father, being the patient man that he is, putting his loving arms around him and saying, son, younger sons' lives matter. Now this brings us to the third perspective, the father's perspective, and perhaps the most important perspective in this story. Now, we get some details, and some we have to kind of intuit from the text. But in verse 20, we see the son finally deciding to return, and the father seeing him at a long way off. This is where I stopped and read again in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. So one of the things that we see from the father side of the story, number one is his presence, the father's presence. As we say here in the South, he ain't gone nowhere. the father was still there. As I try to track through and visualize this story, they were perhaps on a farm, and the son left and went to a distant country, but the father didn't go anywhere. He stayed where he was. He was present. He was always there. He didn't leave. He never left, even though his son turned his back, took all he had, made every effort to separate himself. The father was always there. Now, number two, from the father's point of view, we also see his posture. We first saw his presence. We now also see in the story his posture. In verse 20, we see that the father had to have been vigilant. We don't know what he was doing on a day-to-day basis, but while the son was still a long way off, he was seen. The father was watchful. He saw his son before his son even saw him. And we also have to realize, again, what I'm going to call number three, the father's perspective. So first we had his presence. We saw his posture. We see finally his perspective. What may have seemed like a long way off for the child was still within daddy's view. All the son had to do was realize his mistake, open up his mouth, turn back towards his father, and take that first step. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to him. And this reminded me of even what happened with my daughter, Portia, not too long ago. While she was down the block, I must have seemed like a long way off to her. But for me, it was nothing but a few strides. I ran down the block to her, and I picked her up, and I wrapped her in my arms. Even though she was still bleeding, she was there within my view, within my reach, within my loving protection. What was a long distance, an impossible distance even for her, was just still within my reach. And we see this with our Heavenly Father. And truthfully, beloved, we've all been there in some shape, form, or fashion, and we may be there today. I've been Portia, having fallen off my bike or my skateboard as a child. I remember when I fell off my skateboard and I called out for my parents, my father, who was down the block, and I remember this as a child, looking down, seeing literally the broken pieces of my teeth on the concrete and calling out through a bloody mouth for my father and seeing him so far off. But to him, I'm sure from his perspective, it was just a few steps. I've been sick, suffering from an asthma attack, not knowing if my next breath would be my last. I've been in the sick room as a doctor and heard the name of cancer rear its head. I've known how to open up my mouth and call on the name of Jesus, call on my Father in Jesus' name. And I've seen wounds healed. I've seen wellness restored and cancer removed simply at the mention of his name. Good God. At the mention of God's name, these things happen. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses that he is Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he never leaves us. We see from this story, even though the son tried his best to turn his back on his father was still present.
Hallelujah.
And that son's perspective, he was a long way off, but right there still within the father's reach. Now, I want to also highlight this idea of opening our mouth. It's an important one. That's why I started with that confession, that confession of thankfulness. There's an importance, beloved, of opening up our mouths and calling upon our Father, whether it's literally through a bloodied, broken mouth or through the lens of shame or regret or pain or injustice, still calling out for our Father. That is what we are to do. And I'm going to read a quick verse that highlights how we are to do it. And this is in John 14, 6 and 7. Again, likely a familiar text to many of us. And it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no one comes to the Father except through me. And in verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything in my name, and I will do it.
Hallelujah.
Not things, not just healing, not just the things that may look easy, not just financial restoration, not just changing the hearts and minds of a wayward leader, but anything in my name, and I will do it. So first we learned from this text of the prodigal son or the patient father what to do, simply turning back, calling on the name of our Father. And we learned how to do it. Now, one other important thing that I want to point out from the text, if we go back to Luke 15, as we go back to Luke 15 and we turn, it is in verse 17, and it says, when he came to his senses, I want to highlight what he did. It doesn't say that he contemplated. It doesn't say that he considered. It doesn't say that he mused or sat down and thought or consulted. He said, the son opened up his mouth and he said. So beloved, this reminds us all we need to do, even if we don't know the answer, even if we don't quite see how these things will line up, we need to simply turn back to our Father and open up our mouth and call on his name.
Yes.
Now, these principles, these biblical truths, right? This is the great thing about a truth. It's true whether we believe it or not, but I implore us to hold on to these things and tie them into our daily lives and write them on our hearts so that we live by them. But they're true in all manner and respects of things, whether it's us trying to legally enter this country, there's a certain process. You have to go through customs. If you want to get married and have access to all of the blessings and responsibilities, right, it's not good enough just to shack up with someone. You have to get a license. And even for me, for my vocation as a physician, I can't just watch Grey's Anatomy and trust that God has called me to be a healer and set up shop and start injecting people with medications. No, I've got to go to somebody's medical school and get some kind of license. There's a process that we have to do. And the biblical and spiritual truth that we see in these texts is for us to get access not just to restoration and healing, but for us to get access to all of the power that was mighty enough to fling the stars into the sky, that was mighty enough to separate darkness from light, but still intimate enough to know us as we were knitted in our mother's womb, to get access to all of that power. All we have to do is open our mouth and call out, Daddy, Father. It's something that was so simple. My six-year-old intuitively knew how to do this. And the text gives us the detail. Good God, Jesus, there's a power that is in the name of Jesus as we call his name.
Yes.
There's a power that changes situations. There's a power that brings dead things back to life. And all we have to do, this simple key, is to open up our mouth and proclaim his name. And when we see the Father show up, he doesn't just show up with a bandage. He shows up with a robe symbolizing forgiveness and a covering. He shows up with a ring. And this time, this isn't just a marriage ring or a decorative ring. This ring is a symbol of identity. They called it a signet ring. The rings often had a family seal or signature, essentially. This ring reestablishes the son's identity. and sandals, this new renewed purpose. The only ones that went without sandals, that went barefoot, may have been the servants. But he said, no, you're not simply a servant. You're my son. You're my beloved son.
Yes.
He gave him sandals. And the other thing that sticks with me as I read through this text is that even though the father gave all of these things to his son, and even though the older son complained about not having access to him, the father's reply was, they were yours always. Everything that I had is yours.
Yeah.
That is the father's reply. So even though the son turned his back and had taken and squandered his inheritance, truly all of the father's resources and power and love were his to begin with.
Yes.
So on this Father's Day, I want us to remember how to call on our Father. I want us to remember that he is there. And as fathers, I want us to, good God, even as mothers and sisters and brothers, I want us to cast out any spirit of fear, any spirit of pain that may have tried to dwell within us, and accept a spirit of fatherhood that we see from this story, and model God's presence, his posture, and his perspective. From our perspective, he may seem a long way off, but from God's point of view, he is right there. And as we do this, as we live his way, we will have access not only to his protection, but his provision. And that, beloved, will further free us to live with this spirit of fatherhood that he has called us to live out. God, I thank you. God, I honor you. God, I love you.
Yeah.
Again, Reverend Alicia, thank you for this moment, this opportunity for me to share what God has placed on my heart during this season. Father God, I ask for, in this moment, continued love and covering to be over the pavilion. God, I ask that you dwell in each and every heart richly. God, allow us to turn to spiritually, God, turn our hearts and minds back towards you, and God, see with your eyes and hear with your ears, God, and love with your heart. God, I ask you to shift the spirits of our leaders that may otherwise work in their own direction. And God, I ask you to continue to add a blessing, especially to fathers today, to current fathers, to future fathers, to those just filled with the spirit of fatherhood. God, give us your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, we give praise and thanks. And stay together. Amen. Happy Father's Day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory. You know, there's only one challenge for me. I needed more tissue than I could imagine because I shed some tears this morning. But whatever may have been covering my eyes, I want you to know that was a word from the Lord. The blinders off. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Take the blinders off. You know, sometimes we think, that we have the answer. The word of God has the answer. And don't you know, we all have access to the word of God. We just thank you. You know, if you don't have a message to share with the Lord, you need to get on your knees today and say, Lord, help me to live a life that my life can be my sermon. Amen. That your word may penetrate my heart so that I can find a way to share with someone else and encourage them or open their hearts and their minds to the power, the provision, and the love, and the forgiveness, and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. What a message. You know, mothers, fathers, brothers expect and pray that your younger brothers and sisters, that your sons and daughters may stand on your shoulders and be greater than you. Amen. Don't think that you're the answer. You are part of God's gift, and you should be giving so others may be gifted, amen, and grow and teach and learn and help others to grow. I thank you, Dr. Charles Albert Withers II, amen. I'm thankful that you came through me, not to me, but through me, amen, and to the world, that God has a purpose for your life. I thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being your mother, and I'm thankful for the Father and the man of God that you are. Amen, amen. I pray, hallelujah, let's just thank God this morning. I would love to have a sermon talk back, but I have so many people online this morning. So I want you to talk back to the Lord this morning. Let the Lord know that you heard a message. Let the Lord know that you have grown some, you've been transformed, and maybe you've come to know that there's a Jesus that you can turn to. So right now, I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Open your hearts and your minds right now for prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you, and I'm humbly calling out to you. I'm tired of doing things my way.
Yes, yes.
Help me to do things in alignment with your will for my life. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Amen and amen. Beloved, if you pray that prayer, you've renewed your powerful relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus right now, hallelujah, to God be the glory, you have a relationship with Jesus. Right now, because you earnestly prayed that prayer, don't you know that your Father heard you? Your Father has been waiting for you. Turn and open your mouth. Thank you for opening your mouth today. God knows that you have an open heart. If you don't have a faith community, the doors of the pavilion of God are open to you. Just reach out. I will stand here with the Lord and open my arms to you. The pavilion is opening its arms to you. Thank you, son, for that powerful prayer, that powerful message. And we want you to just stay with us, stay with us right now as we have a message from the Lord in song.
Where's all of my praise? Let me hear the worship. Where's all of my praise? I want everybody around the world to put their hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Who I got?
We love
God
you,
bless
man.
Everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye, Carol.
Bye, Daisy.
Every praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Happy Father's Day. Go forth and serve the Lord. Amen.
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 I really enjoyed it.